Welcome back to Digesting Dark, where we are tackling the Netflix series Dark one episode at a time, leading up to the June 27th premiere of the third and final season of Dark. For this episode, we rewatch season one, episode 9, titled Everything Is Now, and we'll be talking about it in full detail as of where we are at the end of season two. We're going through each of these episodes one at a time, and then once season three comes out, we will switch to watching them with no future knowledge. My name is Zach Brooks, and I am joined by the Boris Niewald to my Alexander Kohler, Aaron Brooks. How are you?
I'm doing good. A lot of things in this episode. First episode with all three timelines. Nine is three times three.
Nine, so. Yes. Also, nine is a German word. So. Nine is episode number three. Yeah, remember that episode where I was like, oh, remember how episode three and episode six are different? No, that would have been very cool. They should have structured it that way.
Didn't want to make it too hard, but that was maybe.
So, and we do appreciate Dark setting this one up with three timelines told pretty chronologically, so we don't have to really jump around too much. We can deal with them in chronological order.
Yeah. They've adjusted our podcast. We appreciate it.
Much appreciated. Yeah, it's a loop. And speaking of our podcast, as always, you can subscribe. We are on every podcast platform, Digesting Dark. That way you will know when the latest episodes drop, especially as we get closer and closer to season three coming out. We also now are on YouTube. So we started uploading these podcasts as YouTube files. And so if you were somebody who likes to, I know this is how Aaron likes to do podcasts, just listen to things through YouTube. You can find Digesting Dark on YouTube. You just have to search Digesting Dark, and you'll see every episode is up there. So join us, subscribe on YouTube, and you will always know what is going on with this podcast.
Yep. Yeah, it's a great way to clean your house and listen to some Dark podcasts on your, you know, TV or something.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that are like, oh, I'm listening to a lot less podcasts now because I don't have a commute and I'm not going into the office anymore. And I said, you know, you just got to start cleaning more and you got to start running more. Running, cleaning, walking dogs, all things you can do when you listen to podcasts. That's why they're great. You can multitask.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. So as we said, this episode was structured with the three different timelines. We had 1953, 1986, and 2019. For each segment of this episode, the machine rises one of the towers, and then we go to that timeline. So I guess we can kind of look at this, that 53 is the past, 86 is the present, and 2019 is the future.
Yep. And like each pattern is almost the same as the one before it, but
within each timeline, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, like each pillar, like the brown is kind of similar, but there's a few pieces out of place in each one.
Yeah.
It may not be the same person each time period who's out of place.
Oh, you think the pillars being up means somebody's out of place, or the black checks on the pillar means somebody's out of place?
The black checks on the pillar.
I see. That could be. I didn't even think about the pillars as like seeing the time. I just thought they were like representative of the different timelines. Very because Game of Thrones they get intro. More,
they get I if I remember.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, they kind of get more dissimilar as the season progresses in season two. As things get more out of order and more screwed up, they get more different each pillar's pattern.
Mm.
So they're pretty similar at this point. So, yeah. But just make a note of it as it's.
And in this episode, there's a lot of talk of making the timeline right as well. So Noah talks about it, Claudia talks about it. And we will talk about everything that happened in this episode. I was reminded of the Game of Thrones intro with the machine, with the pillars moving up and down. I don't know if it's intentionally referencing that, but it reminds me a lot of that intro.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's start with 1953. The first furthest left tower rises.
Well, can we start with how it opens?
The episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, good call. Okay. I just kind of hopped over it.
So I did make a note of everybody's eye color because I think this is a huge clue as to who is who or who is related to who or who is a portion of who. Just all together, I think obviously we know Claudia has a blue and brown eye. I just don't think that's just
I don't think that's like thrown in to make you wonder like maybe Waller's eye is. I think that's telling you something
about Waller's eye or about Claudia's.
About Claudia.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Oh, yeah, yeah. So she's like Max Scherzer, where she has two different colored eyes.
Right, and I don't think it's just like that's the actress, and we're just gonna go with it. I think mm-hmm. they really seem to focus on it. Jonas has blue, Martha has blue, Bartos has brown, Magnus has blue, Francesca has blue, Elizabeth has brown, Mikkel has blue, Hannah has brown, Katarina has blue, Ulrich has blue, Charlotte has blue, Alexander has blue, Regina has blue, wow. Okay has blue, and then Bernd has brown. Okay has blue, Bernd has brown.
I didn't realize that everybody, so many people had blue eyes.
He has blue.
Who does?
HG.
HG.
Yes.
So
I just kind of went through those quick just because, you know, I mean, they go through them in rapid succession, but they're focusing on the eyes.
Yeah, that opening was almost too hard to follow because I was trying to pay attention to who they were showing, and I was also trying to read the subtitles because the subtitles talk about God or evolution, and we see different versions of each character at different times, and it goes faster and faster and faster, and then finally ends on Noah.
Yeah, and it is kind of hard to tell some of the eye colors, like, but I mean, I did kind of make a guess, but the ones that were brown seemed to tell you, yeah, I mean, the ones that were brown were pretty telling.
Who were the people that were brown?
Bernd, Elizabeth, Hannah, and then half of Claudia.
Bernd, Elizabeth, Hannah, and Claudia.
Half of Claudia and Bartos. So it may be nothing. It may just be
the actors.
It really seemed to show them.
Yeah. I wonder if I mean, I wouldn't even want to do this, but if you looked up the actors themselves and saw what color eyes they are, like if they're wearing colored contacts for this particular role.
Yeah.
Or I guess they could just CGI the eye color, especially for that.
Yeah. I do think that it's maybe telling you who's related to who in a way, or who may be who.
Interesting. So, yeah, I think I paid a lot of attention to Bernd in this episode. And I know you mentioned how Bernd was a character you wanted to watch as we were going through this. I said that I wanted to watch Elizabeth more as we were going through this. And really, we don't get very much Elizabeth at all. So, not yet. All right, so let's move on to 1953. Anything else on the intro before we go to the 50s?
Nope.
All right.
I saw.
All right, so we see the first tower rise, and then we see the Sigmundus door, and we go to 1953. This is the first time in the show that we're seeing an on-screen year. Usually we just have context clues to know what year it is, but I guess since we know that this show takes place in these three different time periods, they just kind of let us know like which year it is. Although probably not necessary. I mean, you could tell very quickly which time period you're in.
I don't remember this happening too often, to be honest with you. And it was almost like in this episode, it served as like a play, like act one, act two, act three.
Yes, I definitely think it reminded me of three acts. And I remember thinking that at the time when I saw this the first time. And I loved how like interesting this was structured, that they structured it with like the three act format.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I didn't look up if everything is now as a reference to something also. It kind of reminds me of like the Serenity Prayer or something along that line, but I don't know what it is. But I think that I'll have to kind of notice if they continue to tell you the years or not, because I think it was just kind of maybe a stylistic choice for this episode.
Yeah, I think you probably are right. I did notice, you know, the phrase everything is now, I don't think we heard everything is now said during this episode at all, but I did notice that in each time period, the word everything is said by somebody. And so I didn't notice it for sure until the second time period. I know what happened in the first time period, but I didn't note it. I just remembered noticing like, oh, somebody said everything. And that's what's in this episode. That's what the title of this episode is. So I'm not sure when it was said in the 50s. Maybe we'll remember it as we're talking about it. But in the 80s, in the 86 time period, Alexander says to Regina, everything is okay. And in the 2019 time period, Hannah says to Alexander, she wants him to destroy Ulrich, everything, destroy everything. And also, when Noah picks up Bartos, Bartos says, everything you predicted would happen. or everything you predicted would happen happened, is what he said. So, you know, it might just be a coincidence, but the fact that this is called Everything Is Now, I definitely clued in on the word everything a couple more times in this episode. So did you, I don't know if you picked up on that at all.
No, I didn't notice that at all.
Yeah. So if I had more time, I would have gone back and watched just the 53 segment to see when what was said as everything. But maybe we'll remember it as we're talking about it.
Yeah. Maybe it was a bagel.
Yeah. For EPM. Exactly. Yes. Everything bagel is now. That is what this one is about. Everything seasoning. All right. So I think we can just go through kind of chronologically what happens instead of going by character. So we have Burned at the power plant. And Greta is worried that she's talking, and she was worried she was too mean to Helge, and that's why he ran away, because of his pants being dirty. Burned walks in and says he's going to go to the police about this. Then, you know, if you forgot where we were at the end of the last episode, we see Ulrich. He's all bloody, sitting outside of the bunker where he thinks Helge has been killed. Of course, we know Helge is not actually dead somehow. I guess by the power of time, he has been saved. And I noted that it's, you know, we saw this transition from Ulrich, from cop, and, you know, he seemed like he was a fine cop, he's a law-abiding guy, to getting to the end of his rope so much that he, in order to find his own son, is now attempted murdering a kid.
Yeah, he unraveled pretty quickly, and yeah, he's immediately suspected by Egon, and as usual.
Right. So. Yeah. So then we see that the police station, Egon is there talking with Daniel. I always want to call him Daniel Faraday. That's not right. Daniel Conwald.
Yep.
And we know now that this guy's name is Conwald. He still hasn't been revealed to his first name being Daniel that I know of. But they're talking about how Burned is there about his missing son, that now we have another missing child. Egon is mentioning how Ulrich came to the police station and made a big scene asking about his missing son. They have the two other boys that they found. So, yeah, like you said, Egon is now interested and suspicious of Ulrich. So yep. they're gonna try to find him.
And they're keeping Helge a secret at this point. So another secret within Winden of a missing child here. They also, Burn says that he wants his son found no matter the cost, including the power plant.
Yes. In Burn, you really can track Burn with Ulrich, right? Ulrich wants to find Mikkel no matter what it costs him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that could be. And so, again, I think that the ones who sent the kids to the past, are their goal is to have the power plant never be made. And so this is getting them close to their goal.
But the power plant still does get made.
Correct. But it's just showing that maybe this moves, or that can't change anything.
Right. That they, like Ulrich, they think that they can change the future.
Yeah. And now they're just killing kids.
Right.
Still not changing
anything. And they probably always did this. So I also noted that Burned said that Helge went missing at 3.
So. Oh. I missed that one.
Yep. Yeah. Ears perked up when I saw that. Now we move on to Claudia and Tronte. They are looking for Gretchen, the time traveling dog. This is when Claudia mentions to Tronte that he looks like James Dean.
There's the line.
I don't really see it, but you know,
his hair looks like James Dean, I think is what she says.
Yeah.
Or maybe his hair makes him look like James Dean. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, I think that she mentioned how the girls of Winden would be all over him, hinting at the many affairs that Tronte would go on to have.
Oh, interesting. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Jonna does mention that it wasn't his first affair when he was caught with Claudia. So, just hinting that Tronte continues to get a lot around. Claudia asks why they left and asks if they were bank robbers on the run.
Yep, I noted that too. I think that tracks with what we see from Alexander/Boris later on in the episode as well.
Yeah, so. And then Tronte says mom wanted to change.
Yes.
And then Agnes is trying to, yeah. Then it goes
to Agnes. Yep. Yeah. So then we see Agnes. It's Agnes and Doris are getting a little bit closer. Agnes is, you know, we know that at some point, I think in the next season, maybe the next episode, they start getting together, the two of them. And this is kind of Agnes starting to make the first moves. I noted that they are both in very colorful dresses. Agnes is in teal and Doris is in yellow. I believe the dress that Agnes brought for Aura, that Doris is wearing, Agnes brought for her. So she was trying to give it to her as a gift. Doris kept trying to turn it down. I thought this was interesting because she brought her a yellow dress, and we've been trying to track exactly what yellow is. Does this mean that Agnes brought this dress from 2019, and that's why it's yellow?
I don't know. It looks pretty of time period.
That's true. It does. Yeah, it's not. It's not like a.
It's a muted. It's more like a muted mustard yellow than that bright radioactive yellow of Jonas's shirt or jacket.
Yeah, more like the school in 1986.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, even yeah, it's not. But the school like is like an orange.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know. This looks like of time period though.
Yeah, maybe so maybe it's just that. Maybe it's just the color palette that they use in general.
Could be. Yeah, they probably didn't have like that type of yellow in 1920s.
Mm-hmm. Agnes also mentions that she's been married for 15 years, or had been married for 15 years, and that her husband was a pastor but wasn't a good man. He wasn't a man of faith. And now she says, I'm free.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we get a lot more about Agnes's husband. Of course, we know Agnes's brother is Noah. I don't think there's any reason why we would think Noah was actually her husband. So I'm curious who this guy, if this guy even exists, is.
Yeah, it may have just been to, it may have been what she was told to tell. I don't know. We haven't seen him yet, whoever he is.
Yeah.
But I think we're immediately made to think, especially on your first watch, obviously, that it's Noah they're talking about.
Right, because immediately they cross cut from the Agnes and Doris scene to Greta talking to Noah. So she's talking to a priest or pastor or minister or whatever. And you know, she's talking about how she has always prayed to get rid of Helge even before he was born. Mm-hmm. And also brings up what you mentioned, that it may not be Byrne's child. And the child wasn't a child created out of love. But then she says, it's my fault that he's missing. So lots of loaded stuff here from Greta.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's definitely telling us a lot about Helge and the origins of Helge and where he really plays in the song, how much he probably doesn't belong as well.
Mm-hmm. They talk a lot about God's hand as well, which not God's plan, God's hand. And Noah mentions God's hand or the devil's hand. And through all of this, we get very ominous music playing. And that might just be to make you think Noah is very malicious. It's not clear. But they definitely make him seem sinister in this scene.
Yep, he's talking about how everybody's full of sin, you know, kind of that kind of evil pastor talk.
Yep. And I noticed that he looks back at the picture of Helge and his parents. Mm-hmm. And this kind of tracks with the picture that was on Byrne's desk that we see in the 80s. Of course, that picture on Byrne's desk does not include Greta. So I'm almost positive. I don't know if you remember that for sure, but...
Yeah, she definitely wasn't in it.
Yeah, okay.
Something happens to Greta.
Yeah. Something happens to Greta where they leave Greta. Yeah.
Or she becomes Gretchen.
Exactly. Their names are very similar.
Gretchen.
And I noted too that it's interesting because Noah's looking at a picture of baby Helge, or, you know, like young Helge, mm-hmm. and he's going to work with middle-aged Helge in the future, or maybe not the future. He does work with middle-aged Helge, though.
So. Mm-hmm.
And just one other note on this scene. I really like the way that they shoot this scene because Noah's in all black and it's a really dark scene. So Noah basically just looks like a floating head. Like you can't see his body at all because it's so dark.
No, I didn't notice.
Yeah.
That's an interesting note.
Yeah. All right. And then we get Egon. He's driving down the road, either the forest road or the state road, probably the state road. And he sees Ulrich walking. And Ulrich is all bloody. Ulrich, of course, you know, at this point I was thinking, like, what is he doing? But he thinks that he's changed everything. So he's still under the impression that he killed Helge and everything has been set to the correct path. Much like other characters in this, he thinks he's setting time correctly, or at least his time correctly, but it is to no avail.
Mm-hmm. Everything's connected.
Yep. And so Egon sees him. We've seen Egon driving the same way before. We saw him driving and he saw Jonas. We saw, who else did we see driving on this road? We saw Agnes and Tronte. They were driving and they saw Ulrich. Now the difference there, they were driving the other direction, I believe.
I think they're driving on the crossroad.
So it wasn't the same spot?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't think so. But this may be where the eventual bus stop is. We're still not sure about.
Yeah, that. I feel like they keep showing.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, before. Maybe the bus stop is where the Doppler mansion is. They tear it down and they build a bus stop. Hopefully,
perhaps.
Yeah. So he chases Egon, or sorry, Egon chases Ulrich into the forest. Ulrich is almost to the cave. He's just trying to get to the cave so he can escape. And he gets tackled by Egon out of nowhere. As he's getting tackled, Ulrich says, I changed the course of time. Helge is dead. He can't hurt anybody. Of course, nothing has changed. And Egon has now arrested Ulrich. And then we cut to Helge in the bunker, opening his eyes and waking up.
Yep, with the second pillar cup as he wakes up.
Yep, the second pillar comes up, and then we go to 1986. Anything else from the 50s? It's kind of nice that we just got like a very condensed look at the 50s in this episode. It's quick to go through.
Nope. That, I think, covers most of what happened there.
All right, so then we go to act number two, 1986. We see Alexander running in the forest, or who we will find out is Alexander. He has a ski mask on and a bag. He looks like he's holding his shoulder because he's been shot. Of course, we know that this is the Boris Niewald who becomes Alexander. And it's another person who has just arrived in Winden, much like Agnes and Tronte did. We have no idea where he came from, but he's up to no good. Somebody's chasing after him and somebody shot him. And we still don't know much about where he came from, right? There's nothing in season two about this.
Yeah, nope. That's like, it's one of the biggest mysteries still,
yeah,
of season three.
There's no way he's actually from 1986. He's definitely running from somebody from another time period, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, then we see Katarina and Hannah talking. Ulrich is going to be released from jail today, which I thought was interesting since all these episodes are taking place on the same day. The day Ulrich is released from jail in the 80s is the day that older Ulrich is taken to jail in the 50s.
Good point.
Yeah. Hannah suggests that it was Regina who called the cops on Ulrich.
Because she's the worst.
Yeah, because Regina's the worst or because Hannah's the worst?
No, Hannah's the worst.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're Hannah, you think Regina's the worst.
Yeah, no, Hannah's terrible. And then, Katarina mentions how they're staying together because love is stronger than anything. And it's like, it's something that Katarina loves to like throw in Hannah's face. That Ulrich loves her, and in a way she's saying that Hannah doesn't love her.
It's amazing that these two coexisted for 30 years after this. Like there's so much tension between them. I it's just crazy that it never boiled over until 2019.
Yeah, it is very strange.
Let's see. And then we see Egon. He's talking to Ulrich in the jail as he's about to let him out. And Egon says to Ulrich that he recognizes his stare, which, you know, whether he realizes it or not, it's because it is the same person, but a younger version of the same person that he arrested in the past. So that's a fun loop. Ulrich responds, maybe it's the cancer. Now, does Egon have cancer?
I think we find out towards the end he had cancer.
I'm trying to remember how that happened. Because I know
he gets a cancer diagnosis towards the end, and then... I believe Claudia is saying she's going to drive him to his radiation. That's her way of like saying, trying to get close to him when she knows she's going to kill him.
Mm.
And she's like, I'll drive you to your radiation. Like, just come stay with me.
Right. Because I know that she's trying to prevent him from dying. And in doing so,
which would be interesting in this show if she was offering to drive him to radiation with what role radiation plays.
Yeah. Considering radiation is so prevalent with the power plant. And also, Regina is going to also have does have cancer as well. So it runs in the family.
Yep.
Janna is there picking up Ulrich from prison. She slaps Egon and says she wants him taken off the Mads case. So she's, I guess she's just upset because her son got arrested, but it seems like she's like more upset than I would expect her to be in a situation like this.
I mean, you know, emotions are, I can understand the response. Accusing your other son of rape as your other son's missing, I'm pretty sure a lot of mothers would probably end up with a slap.
That's true.
I don't think that's that crazy. What I did notice is Ulrich smirking as he left, just continuing to, you know, toy with the suspicions of Egon. And frankly, it starts to make me wonder how bad Ulrich has always been.
I mean, Ulrich changed from cop to killer very quickly. So
yeah, and it just makes me wonder if young Ulrich really maybe did play more of a role in Madge than we realize.
Interesting. I can't see it. I can't see that he had anything
intentionally or unintentionally.
Maybe unintentionally.
They do talk about with Regina having to walk home with him because of what they did. So maybe that's the way he's involved.
Right. And we do get a reference to that, I think, very soon after. I think the next scene or two scenes from now, they talk about that. It could even be that Ulrich plays a role similar to the role that Bartosz plays in this episode, where Ulrich, you know, Bartosz is working with Noah. Now, he doesn't know what he's involved with Noah, but maybe Ulrich and Noah had some kind of interaction before Mads disappeared. And yeah, like you said, unwittingly helped him.
Mm-hmm. And that could be like a real source of a lot of the guilt, is knowing that he unwittingly helped.
Yeah, he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing. Mm-hmm. Could even be that Noah told Ulrich, you need to tie up Regina and do this thing to her.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, someone comes out and does something to, or says something to Regina. And maybe what happened, because of how well things have turned out for the Tiedemanns, is when she was tied up, maybe something bad didn't happen to Regina, but, you know, it was just Noah or somebody coming out telling Regina what was going down and what she needed to do to better her family's life.
Oh, could be. Yeah, because...
Yeah, and then, like, convince Madge to walk home with you or something on this day.
Well, and so let's just go right to that. We'll come back to Claudia.
Well, we can just talk about Claudia real quick. She finds Gretchen.
So she goes down into the caves just like Charlotte did. She takes the rope down into the caves and sees all of the nuclear waste barrels. She has a Geiger counter with her as well. And Gretchen runs out.
Yep, and just, yeah, that would be a total mind freak. I can't imagine losing your dog and then seeing them 33 years later.
Yeah, I thought that was so interesting. I also noted that. I was like, because, you know, the dog is going to have the collar on. You're going to, you would know that this is the same dog. It's not just like a dog that looks like yours. Like, you would, you know, if you loved your dog, you would recognize them 33 years later.
Yeah, but also that's impossible. So it's just, I would just think someone was really messing with me, but why? Like, I don't know. That would freak me out, though. Yeah. I definitely wouldn't think my dog was a time traveler.
Or that your dog was Greta.
Right.
So then let's talk about Regina. So Katarina confronts Regina, and Katarina and Ulrich confront Regina and says, is this because of last summer? Is that why you did this? So last summer obviously means when they tied her up to the tree, which she has nightmares about. And I think it is interesting to think about, like, what did happen then. I wonder if we'll ever see that, because it seems like when she's tied up, she must have seen something that was so traumatic. I mean, just being tied to a tree, like, yes, that would be upsetting, but not enough to be as traumatic as this is.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I think we'll find out. I think we'll see that full scene play out. And maybe what she sees is Mads or something. I don't know. Something that just so shakes her idea. I don't know.
Sees Adam. I mean, Adam would be pretty scary if you saw him, the way his face is all disfigured.
Yeah, but I would think they would mention something about just some little, I don't know.
Didn't she mention a monster at some point or something, or not? Did I make that up?
I don't remember that, but maybe.
Yeah, maybe not. Because
sounds like a monster coming out of the cave.
Right.
There's that noise. But
yeah.
Not sure.
That will be something to track. And then Katarina says, my mom did this to me because of what you said. So it didn't seem like that tracked either, because she had the black eye before Ulrich was before Alaric was arrested. So I don't know if she just said that to make her feel bad or if it happened again, but she definitely had a black eye before Alaric was arrested.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. And then running out of the forest to save the day, we have Alexander. He has a gun. He points it at Alaric and Katrina, or Katarina, Alaric and Katarina. And for whatever reason, he defends Regina. He's never met her before. He defends her and says that if you mess with her again, I will kill you.
Yep. And then right away is looking for a job.
Yeah. If you hurt her, he says, if you hurt her, I will kill you. So, and you know, they leave Regina alone. He tells Regina everything is okay. Of course, we know that Alexander and Regina are going to be together in the future. And then he will go and look for a job. Before then, we get a meeting between Claudia and Bernd. They're talking about this radioactive leak. Bernd says that it happened when the night shift was there and a couple other employees and Helge.
Yep.
And also this happened over the summer as well.
Yep. And said no one will tell because they all got fat bonuses.
Yep. And talks a lot about truth, how there's no truth. There's just stories and stories we tell ourselves and tell others. And then we see the bunker again. We see Helge walking.
Yeah, just one more thing. There's the mention of Chernobyl.
Yep.
When asked if the plants were safe. So I always think Chernobyl is brought up so much in this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm curious about like the summer. I guess we're going to have to see this time during the summer. I would imagine this radioactive leak that happened during the summer is going to be somehow related to what Regina saw over the summer when she was tied up. Because they wouldn't say two things are the summer if they weren't somehow related.
Yeah.
So then we see Helge walking out of the bunker. So the bunker in the 80s does have that wallpaper up. Old Helge sees him walking out. And in Helge's cabin, he's working on those little pine cone toys, those creepy toys. And before he's able to finish, he isn't interrupted at this point, but we cut to Egon. Egon is looking at the clock. So I didn't even realize that we are now to the day that Helge was supposed to meet with Egon.
Mm-hmm.
So, he never showed up for his testimony, of course. So Egon decides he's going to go find him. Going back to Alexander, we see him burying his gun in his passport. The name that he becomes is Alexander Kohler. He was Boris Niedemann?
Boris Niedwald.
Niedwald. I don't know why I always get that mixed up. Alexander Kohler was born January 21st, 1965. So that makes him 21 years old in this time period. So he is a little bit older than Regina.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, he goes to the power plant immediately and looks for a job. Now, he's never met Regina before. He just saved her without knowing anything, and then immediately knows to go to the power plant and says that he's a friend of Regina's and somehow immediately knew where to go and what to say and to apply for a job there.
Yep.
It just seemed like Alexander definitely has more knowledge than he's letting on. He knows a lot more about these people.
And I think he's told that he has a role that he's going to need to play in this, and that's why he sent back and to just plant the seed for Claudia, because he knows that what Claudia had seen with the barrels, and that Claudia is going to need help hiding said barrels.
Yeah, because he does say that he's a metal worker, I think, at this point. And yeah, I'm very interested to see where we go with Alexander, because he's the one we know probably the least about of any of the main characters. I also noted that they show Regina and she's like aggressively brushing her hair. And earlier in the season, Claudia mentioned how Regina's hair was terrible. And in the 80s, she has this like really curly, frizzy hair. The current timeline, Regina, before she loses her hair from the cancer treatment, has straight hair. So it's just probably a little thing that is just like her trauma. She like takes it out on her hair and just like brushes it so hard that, you know, she won't let herself have this curly hair that her mom mentioned.
Yeah. And I think also like it's just playing into when Alexander shows up, he mentions he's a friend of Regina and she's like, she has friends who are boys. I didn't know she was interested in boys.
Right. Yeah.
I think
Claudia is really hateful of Regina.
Yeah, I think it's more illustrating like, oh, she's like, this guy must be special because look at it. She's starting to take care of herself now. She's finally falling in love with the boy.
Oh, so, yeah. Okay. That makes, I didn't even put that together, but that makes sense.
Yeah. That's what
I think. It, which is, it's funny because older Claudia has really disgusting hair. Yeah. When she has the gray hair, it's like really dirty. Care. And, right.
No, care more.
No, there's more important things for her to deal with. So this is when we see the inside of the bunker with Helge and Noah. They're working on the bunker. We see the blue wallpaper, and it looks like they've had, you know, they've had the failed experiments with the boys that they've sent back in that chair. And it was like, I couldn't type fast enough as I was watching this scene because they just have such a dense conversation. Helge is wanting to quit, and he's asking Noah, why would God want any of this? Why didn't it work? And Noah responds, after looking into hell, how can it be forgotten? And he also mentions that Jesus and God are the thread that we cling onto, which I wrote that down because the term thread definitely had a thread throughout this. And Noah says that God doesn't have a plan, that people are bad and evil. Life is nothing but pain and the world will end. This is Noah's ark. Or maybe he says, this is the ark and I am Noah, which I was like, yes, we know you're Noah. You don't have to tell us. And he says, this will reorder everything. So he is interested in setting the timeline straight.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think, you know, there were parts of the bunker that we were confused with a couple episodes ago, because when we saw Noah cleaning the floor of the bunker, we weren't sure what time that is. I still don't think we know. I think it's gotta be before the 50s though. So I don't know if it's that 1920s timeline, or maybe it's just like another time before Helge is down there. But when Helge is down there playing, those words are already written on the wall, and there's, the floor doesn't look wet from being cleaned or anything like that.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah, so I'm not sure either.
Yeah, it's just an interesting thing to track. And Noah's Ark, of course, you know, famously had two of every animal on it. So that's that duality, the twins mirroring all of that.
Yep.
So, all right. So once again, we end in the bunker for the end of the second act, we end in the bunker with Helge in the bunker, actually.
Yep.
So then Tower 3 lifts up. Now, I can't remember. Does each tower go down as the next one raises up? Or
the other two are still up.
The other two are still up, and the third one is rising. Okay. And we open with Hannah, and she has Alexander's box. Now, we didn't see her actually in the background of Alexander burying that stuff in the ground, did we?
Yeah, they showed her watching.
Oh, they did in this episode they did, or is this in a different episode that they show her?
And I'm pretty sure in this episode they show her watching.
I might have been just writing notes and missed it.
Yeah, they show her hiding behind the tree and then her vantage point.
I definitely remember that. I just don't remember it from this episode. And then we see Charlotte. She's listening to the message that Ulrich left for her about how Mikkel is in 1986 or has been captured in 1986. Katarina walks in and they talk about how Ulrich is suspended. Charlotte says that he was suspended so that they could spend time together. And
yeah.
Katarina says, what did you think? We were just going to sit there and hold hands. I wrote that down because the word hands is mentioned quite a bit in this. God's hands, the devil's hands. Hmm. So then we have Magnus and Francesca. Magnus and Francisca. Are in bed together. Their relationship has progressed very quickly. He gives her the necklace and wants to know who she really is, and she gets very closed off to him at this point.
Yep. She says, not today.
Yeah, not today. And then we see, is there anything else from the scene with them before
Martha Martha walking in, and her reaction was really weird.
Yeah, so Martha's downstairs.
Almost like she was jealous.
Interesting. Martha was downstairs, and she sees Francisca leave. Martha also tries to call Jonas, and he is not picking up the phone from her. And I also noted that Martha is watching something on TV. You can't tell what it is, but you can see hands moving something. It almost looked like Mikkel's magic trick.
Hmm. Yeah, so, Martha asks why everybody has to keep.
Yes. Yes. Why does everybody have to keep so many secrets in this family or in this town? I don't remember which one she says.
Yep. Speaking of secrets leads to the next scene, one of my favorite scenes.
Good. So yeah, Katarina shows up at Hannah's house. They have a big blowout confrontation. And Hannah says that she ended things with Ulrich, even though he didn't want to. Of course, that is not the truth at all.
Yep. Says she never wanted any of it. Says that Ulrich kept going at her. He wouldn't leave her alone. The opposite of the truth, of course. But planting the seeds of doubt that she knows, you know, because she knows the one thing that Katarina believes is that Ulrich loves her. Mm-hmm. And so everything she's saying is trying to tear apart at that. Yeah, Hannah's the worst.
Yeah. Do you think that was just like survival that she was telling her this just to defuse the situation? Or is she just trying to create more chaos?
I think it was to continue to ruin Ulrich. Mm. Everything she does is to ruin Ulrich. Everything yes. she does.
Definitely, as we see in this.
And continuing.
Yep. All right. So then...
she'd ruin herself to ruin Ulrich.
Which is what she does. She takes herself out of her present timeline to ruin Ulrich.
Yeah.
All right. So then from there, we go to the Bartosz's house and the Tiedemann house. And Bartosz is playing that video game. Of course, he's playing the video game solo now. He's not playing it with Jonas. Old Claudia arrives. Now, he doesn't know who she is. I can't track. Do we know that this is Claudia at this point? We do, I guess, because they showed her at the beginning. Mm-hmm. They show their faces.
Yeah, and she's each other. Connected. Yep. Yeah.
But he doesn't know who this is. She mentions the addition. They've added an addition onto the house.
Yep.
And I also noted that Claudia tells Bartosz. So Bartosz thought that she was dead, and she says there's a lot of things your parents probably haven't told you or told you about me. But she mentions that you look a lot like your parents. Mm. Not you look a lot like Alexander and Regina. You look a lot like your parents.
He doesn't particularly look like them.
No, not really. Speaking of looking like people, I did think that young Alexander looks a lot like old Alexander. I thought that casting was really good. Those two actors look very similar. Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yes. So it just seemed very loaded to say you look a lot like your parents. I have written down they look at this picture. Did Bartosz give Claudia the picture of them, or did Claudia give Bartosz the picture?
Claudia hands Bartosz a picture of her.
Yeah.
And Regina. Saying yes. It was the summer before it all changed. She made yes. a lot of mistakes.
The summer before it all changed. So that is, again, a mention of the summer. I'm assuming the summer before it all changed was the summer of 1983 or 1986.
Yep. Also the summer where, there's a lot.
Yeah.
I think that happens that summer.
Yeah. More mentions of the summer.
And there's a lot that happens this summer before the 2019 also.
Yep. We do get some of that, right? Because we're gonna go back to the day before in just a couple episodes. We're gonna go back to the day before Michael kills himself.
Yeah.
So, then we see a shot of Regina wiping the dust at the hotel. I guess this is just a setup that she's gonna be cleaning the hotel later on in the episode. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any other significance. So. Yeah. Then
just
Hannah.
A sign of
time passing.
Just a sign of like. The dead bitch, like the classic, like it's there's so little going on that dust is collecting.
Yeah,
I can notice the dust. Like things aren't going well.
Mm-hmm. So then we get that great scene with Hannah and Alexander. She shows him. I thought this was a great way to reveal that she has his stuff. Is she's giving him a massage and then puts the bag right where he can see it. Mm-hmm. And it's never, they never even bring up what it is, but they just like dance around it and they both know. It's one of those scenes where they both know and nobody is acknowledging what is going on. So, and she tells him she's blackmailing him to destroy Ulrich. She doesn't want any money. She just wants Ulrich's life destroyed and she wants to destroy everything about him.
Yep.
If only she knew his life has already been destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Kind of heard that.
Yeah. So then, We go back to Hannah's house, and Jonas is getting there. It is raining really hard. Martha is waiting for Jonas at the house. She mentions last summer, and he says it wasn't right. It wasn't because of Bartosz. They're just not a good match, and we're wrong together.
Yeah, not a good match.
Yep.
And like, oh, this is just like infuriating Martha. She couldn't be more upset about it. She ends up kissing him in the rain, and the rain stops.
Oh, I didn't. See, I thought it stopped, but then I thought maybe they just cut the sound of the rain stopping.
No, it looked like it stopped, at least slowed down, and then you hear thunder. Mm-hmm. And Jonas says he's sorry, and just walks away.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the reason why Jonas is so upset with everything with Martha is because he's just returned from the 80s, and he knows that Martha is his aunt and everything with Michael and Mikkel. So that's why, as much as he wants to be with Martha, he knows it is wrong.
So. Right.
So then we go back to Alexander. He's calling Waller, and he's talking mm-hmm. to him about Ulrich, and says we need to, what does he say? Like, we need to dig up some dirt on this guy.
Something like that.
Yeah. And Waller mentions the truck. Now, the truck, of course, we will see it later in the episode, but the truck contains the nuclear waste that he moved. And who was it that moved the truck? Was it Waller that moved the truck?
I don't think we know, but maybe.
Yeah, I feel like the truck is the thing I'm always very confused about. That I just can't remember who moves the truck. But at some point earlier in the season, somebody moved the truck. And of course, Waller knows about it. Now, Waller's a cop, and Waller knows about it. Mm-hmm. So, then we go back to Regina. She's cleaning the floor. I feel like that her cleaning the floor reminded me of Noah cleaning the floor of the bunker. It's kind of the same type of thing.
I can see that.
And I don't think she has anybody staying in the hotel. The only person who was staying there was the stranger, and he's no longer staying there. But of course, he left everything there, and she goes into the room where the stranger was staying, which is an invasion of privacy. If I was staying in that hotel, I would be annoyed. But she goes in there, and she sees, luckily for her, she sees everything that the stranger has put up, and the stranger puts up the most obvious things about time travel and loops. So there's no way to see that and not get suspicious by what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think she sees any one thing in particular, but she's just looking like everything up in the room. They do show her seeing the newspaper that says, "When is Mikkel?" So I'm sure that would surprise her.
Yeah.
Then we see the machine start going. It just starts. We cut back to the machine, and it's whirling even more than it was before. Mm-hmm. But we stay. And so I was thinking this was going to be the end of the episode, but nope, we stay in 2019. It's weird that they have the machine going at this point because there is still more. Well, I guess at this point, then we start seeing people from multiple timelines. So that would be why. Yeah. Right? We're not just seeing one timeline at a time.
Yeah.
So Noah picks up Bartos, and Bartos says, "Everything you predicted happened." And Noah talks about his offer. I was thinking about this. I think that the driver for Noah, because it's kind of weird. It's like, how does he find this like driver for a black car? It's probably Helge who's his driver.
Oh, it could be.
Yeah. Or somebody else that he's working with. But I don't think he just like hired like an Uber black to drive him around.
Yeah, probably not.
So then we see Alex and Claudia. This is Alexander and Claudia. This is in the 1980s. And mm-hmm. she says that she has work for him, but he cannot tell anybody. And we see them sealing the nuclear waste behind the red door in the caves. Which, of course, we see that later on. People find that red door in the 2019 timeline.
Yeah.
And then we go back to Bernadette, who we have not seen in many episodes. She has a yellow umbrella. She's walking in the rain. And she sees the stranger off in the distance, and she tries to get him to come in. She offers to prostitute herself out to him, and he doesn't say anything. And then the stranger goes into the truck with the waste. And you know, of course, the radioactive symbol looks a lot like the Sigmundus symbol. It's that the three pillars of mm-hmm. radiation on there. And he opens up one of the radioactive waste barrels. I don't think that's smart.
Yep, he's got to get the stuff for his time machine.
Oh, that's why he's in there. That's right. Okay. Yep, because he needs the fuel.
Yep.
And then, to end the episode, we cut back to the 50s timeline. We see HG. He is playing around with the cell phone and the battery of the cell phone, trying to get it to work. All of the clocks read 11:05, which I believe is the same time the stranger comes in when he meets with him in the 80s a few episodes ago. And Claudia has blueprints for the machine and gives them to HG.
Yep.
So, and I believe she says this will set straight the course of time. Another character talking about setting things right, setting the course of time right. Yeah. All right. So that is the end of the episode. And we are now, the next episode we're going to be talking about is the finale of season one. It's amazing.
Yeah. Flew by.
And there's some great loops in this episode. We see a lot of parallels, I think, between the paths the characters take, some reflections. One thing with reflections, when Regina's brushing her hair, there's three different reflections in the mirror.
Yeah, I did notice that. And they all had different emotions.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't notice that they all had different emotions.
One looked, it was from the perspective, the emotion appeared differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like one was angry, one was scared, and one was like content. It was based on the angle it was shown at.
Just going back to Alexander doing that work for Regina, for doing that work for Claudia, of course, Alexander will eventually end up taking over the power plant from Claudia. So this is the start of that.
And the Tiedemann.
Yes. Yes, and the Tiedemanns. All right. Anything else that you want to mention about this episode?
Nope. I think that it was pretty contained, honestly.
Yeah, it was. I think this is one that I would like to watch again, not taking notes, because I do think there were things like you brought up that I was like, oh, I was writing that down, so I didn't see that shot. But overall, yeah, this is a great episode. This was an easy one to recap because it's all split into the three timelines, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
All right, so who gets your MVP for this episode?
I think that my MVP, I'm going to, just because I don't think he's gotten enough MVP points and I like him, I'm going to give it to Ulrich. I don't really have a good reason why.
He got out of jail.
He needs more MVP points. He tried to change things. I don't know. This is a hard episode to really determine an MVP for. I guess maybe Claudia could get it for the blueprint, but I'm going to give it to Ulrich just because I know it's coming for him. So MVP points are going to be scarce coming up here soon.
That's true.
Get him while he's active. I know it's like knowing about like a player's like knee injury that's not quite there yet, but it's like, oh, I've been hearing some things about Kevin Durant's knee. It's like, get it now.
Yeah.
And then trade him off to the Nets.
Right, exactly. All right. So let's see. For me, could give it to Gretchen because she gets found in the cave, giving her two, but I'm not going to do that. I think for me, it's between Claudia and Alexander. I do think you brought up some really good points about Claudia with the blueprint, and she successfully hides the nuclear waste. She confronts Burned about it and takes her full transition. But I am going to give it to Alexander just because I'm the most interested in him from this episode. I don't know if he had the best episode, but I'm the most interested in what we saw from him. And he does set himself, it seems like he's setting himself into position to to be successful and to have things happen in the future.
Yeah.
So Jonas is leading the way with three MVP points, followed by Mikkel, Ulrich, and Alexander with two. Then Trante, Egon, Elizabeth, Hannah, Charlotte, Gretchen, and HG Tanhaus all have one MVP point.
Yeah.
Yeah, after the next episode, we will know who our overall MVP for season one is. And it seems like it's probably at least going to be shared by Jonas, if not Jonas outright.
Yeah, that would be fitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so we'll be back probably, what is today? Today is Wednesday, probably Friday, with our recap of Dark episode number 10, the season one finale. And that episode is titled
Omega, right?
Alpha and Omega, yes. So
Alpha and Omega.
Yes, the first letter in the Greek alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So,
and I will finally look up what Sigmundus means and tell you the full definition at the beginning of next episode.
Oh, good. All right, you're giving yourself a little homework. So,
yeah, I got 2 days.
That's true. So as I said at the top of the episode, definitely subscribe so you know when that finale recap comes out. Or you can check us out on YouTube. And you know, if you have feedback, especially as we're getting to the end of season one, there might be some season one feedback. You can let us know. You can tweet at us. I am at Brooks ZA.
And I'm at Aaron JAY Brooks.
All right. And we will see everybody back here on Friday to talk about Alpha and Omega, the season one finale.